It's time, folks, for another Church of God radio broadcast. This broadcast comes to you from the Church of God at God's Acres, 675 North Cedar Street, here in Newark, Ohio. Here now is Brother Dishman to bring us another good message from God's eternal word.
It's graduation time. I want to say congratulations to all the graduates who have reached a significant milestone in their lives and are now ready to take the next step in their lives. Years of books and studying, staying up late and getting up early, preparing for tests, it's all come to this gratifying moment. Some graduating from high school and college, these schools and careers fade into the twilight, and these students are awaiting the new adventure that tomorrow brings. The pastor of this local congregation, Brother Decker, and your parents and the saints in this congregation, they're praying for you that in the future you'll make the right decisions. You've grown in wisdom and in stature before God. You've learned from many teachers. You've learned from the Sunday school teachers here at God's Acres. You've learned from your dear pastor. You've learned from your parents, and your parents have learned much from you. You're older, you're wiser, and I pray that you will become role models for younger ones to look to. In fact, you're now a teacher yourself, and you should realize your power, your influence, and step up to the place of leadership by always being a learner and continuing to look for wisdom. You've come a long way. It's just the beginning. John Adams said, there's two types of education. One should teach us how to make a living, and the other how to live. And that's mainly what we want to talk about, how to live. While we have much to celebrate concerning your progress and your growth, we know this is certainly not the end of your education for your life of growth and faith. And I would like to use this time not only to celebrate the beginning that you have made here, but to encourage you to continue in your walk with Christ and grow and mature, that you'll become fit instruments in the hands of God. Because it's through young people that God will continue to preserve and sustain this world until the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Young people are not the church of tomorrow. Young people are the church of today. We can be thankful for the good start you have here. And all of us look forward with great anticipation how you will impact the world. Many questions no doubt fill our graduates' mind. One of the greatest questions is, will I find happiness? Will I find fulfillment and success in life? Will I realize my greatest hopes and aspirations? You know, no one plans to be a failure, I don't believe. Everyone wants to believe they can succeed. And Solomon has much to say about this subject. Solomon was a man in the Bible who had it all. He had popularity. He had power. He had prosperity. He had possessions. And he had position. Yet he didn't find happiness in none of these things. He tried learning. He tried lust. He tried liquor. He tried labor. And he tried luxury. And he said in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter and verse number 8, vanities of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. He also said in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 6th chapter and verse number 6, yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. In other words, Solomon was saying, though a man lives 1,000 years twice over, but if he doesn't find contentment, what's the use? In other words, it doesn't matter about the length of our life, it's the quality of our life that's important. Jesus not only came to this earth to add years to your life, but also add life to your years. Yet so many around us are in a quest for happiness, but it seems it eludes them. It seems to be an elusive dream that one can really be happy in life. But I want you to know you can be happy in life. Think about what Solomon said. You can live to be 2,000 years old, but if your life is not a life of happiness, what good did it do to live all that time? Now, Solomon was uniquely qualified in the quest for happiness. Experience is a good teacher, but experience is not the best teacher, because experience will cost you too much for tuition. We can learn from the mistakes of others. Now, I'm going to speak about the dangers that face these graduates and also talk about Jesus, who has promised to be with them during these times. The world these young people are facing is massively different from the one that I faced when I was their age. I was born in 1958. And friend, it was safe to assume that almost everyone you met on the street went to church somewhere. But that's all changed. Today, many powerful people consider religion to be a blight on society. Our culture is ready to tolerate anything and everything, with one exception, Christianity. They can tolerate the sin of sodomy. They can tolerate killing babies by the millions. The one time our culture becomes obsessively intolerant is when it comes to conservative Christians. Our culture claims that religion claims to have a handle on spiritual truth is narrow-minded, bigoted, arrogant, and hateful. Various businesses such as photographers and bakers now find their freedom of speech and religion under attack. Most modern-day colleges and universities have whole departments that consider it their duty to liberate the students from the foolish notion of having faith in God. A young man went to college, and he told me that the very first day of college that the professor got up and said, "I want you to forget everything you've been taught politically and religiously right now, because we are starting over today." These young people who are graduating have a very challenging future in store for them. The world indeed has changed. These young people are entering their adult lives in a society that hates God. We need young people who'll stand up for Jesus. We sing, stand up for Jesus. But many times when it comes time to stand up for Jesus, we're nowhere to be found. I pray daily that God would reverse the course of this country. I pray this country would return to the standard of religious freedom contained in the First Amendment of its Constitution, which leads us to the first point of our message, and that's God's thoughts towards you. I'm talking about all of us, but especially the graduates. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God's knowledge of us is individual, and I like that. God thinks about these students individually. This is a reminder that all the people in the world, God's got his mind on you. God sees each one of us individually. God has specific thoughts about each one of us. God cares about each and every one of us. You as an individual, think about it, you're on God's mind. He tells us in the book of Matthew, the 10th chapter and verse number 29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows." These verses tell us of the value that God places upon his creation. Even the little sparrow that falls to the ground does not escape the attention of the Almighty God. The reality for this is the Father is so concerned about our lives that he knows the very numbers of our hairs which upon our heads. And if he's concerned about something that insignificant, then we can be assured he'll take care to watch over the more weightier issues of life. That's the kind of God we serve. Since his knowledge of our life is so detailed, then we can be sure that God knows every possible thing there is to know about us. The Lord knows our deepest, darkest secret. He knows our thoughts. He knows our plans. He knows our motives. He knows our dreams. He's everywhere. He sees and he knows it all. In other words, God's eye is constantly upon the affairs of your life. This is an encouragement to me because I know that nothing that happens in my life catches the Lord off guard. He knows about it before it even happens. And he tells me in the book of Isaiah, the 46th chapter and verse number 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're going to face. And that's why I said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. What's that telling us? Everything that happens to us has to pass through the filter of God's grace before it can even make it to us. And as Christians, the graduates, those of you that are saved, Romans 8:28, he said that we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I think David summed it up. Look what the psalmist said in Psalms 139 and verse number 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot obtain it. When you get to really thinking about how God knows us in an intimate way, he knows us personally. He just don't look at us as all of his creation. He thinks about you individually. Not a single promise in the Word of God will ever fail. He'll keep every promise that he's ever made. He will fulfill his word as he brings us through valleys and through troublesome times of our life. We can rest assured that in the end, he is merely working out his will for us, and that end will be able to justify the means. He has a plan for your life. It's your duty to walk in his will. When he thinks about you, he thinks about you in love. God has great plans for every one of our lives. No matter where you are in this world today, no matter what you are facing or what you're going through, there's help and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be walking through the darkest, deepest, longest valley of your life and wondering if the Lord cares and wondering if the Lord even knows what you're going through, but let me assure you, he knows and he cares. God hasn't promised none of us smooth sailing, but I'm telling you, his word says his thoughts about you are peace. He said, the thoughts that I have towards you, they're not evil. God's got good thoughts about you. God has a beautiful dream for your life. He said, I want to give you an expected end. So this lets us know God's got a perfect will for your life. It's God's perfect will that every one of us be saved, that every one of us live for God and be faithful all the way to the end of life. But God does not force that on anyone. The second point of the message is, how can a young person stay pure in a world like we're living in? I already told you a lot of the things that's going on in the world today, and I could say a lot more, but how can a person stay pure in a world like we're living in? Well, David had the answer to that. In Psalms 119, verses 9 through 11, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. As a Christian, You cannot withdraw from the battle with the flesh, the world, and the devil. So how can you live for God? He said, by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. It is only by prayerful reading of, study of, memorizing of, meditation of, and practice of God's word that you cleanse your ways and grow as a Christian. Without the powerful influence of the Holy Spirit operating his word and applying his word to our hearts and lives, all of our efforts are vain, and we will fall prey even to the most subtle and impotent of the dangers that lie around us. In this passage, the psalmist has hidden the word of God in his heart that he might not sin against God. That's how you can live a pure life in a world like we're living in. By having the word of God continually within us, wherever he went, hiding the word in his heart, the word of God became an inward motivating power. There's power in the word of God. Because of his desire to be transformed by the truth and to cleanse his way, he sought to hide the truth in his heart. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:14 and verse number 15, as obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to your former lusts, but he which has called you to be holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The third point of the message is this. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So the third point is continue thou. Paul's admonition to Timothy was continue thou. You've got a good start. I believe our graduates have got a great start. But it's not over yet. The Apostle Paul, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, wrote to young Timothy, continue thou. The word continue here means to remain, to sojourn, to tarry, not to perish, to last, to endure. It's the opposite of quitting, of falling out, of fainting. It's the opposite of walking away, of giving up. It's the opposite of withering, of throwing in the towel. Just like Timothy, most of us have had amazing opportunities to hear the gospel. You graduates, you've had an amazing opportunity to sit here week after week and hear a great pastor preach anointed messages. So that makes us responsible. So you know what we can say? Luke 12:48, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required. And whom men much have been committed, of him they will ask the more. We've heard how we can live and experience blessings from this pulpit by your pastor. We've heard how we can enjoy life, have happiness. Brother Decker has brought many messages to let us know how we can have victory. And Paul is reminding Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast heard. And that's not all. And has been assured of means it's become a reality without question. It's undeniable. Amen. Friend, the truths that you have heard down through the years, they've been assured. They're undeniable. But we're living in a day when there's many different gospels being preached. But what's wrong? They haven't been assured. There's many different philosophies and ideals being preached today, but they've not been proven. In other words, Paul said, continue in the word that he had preached to them, the things that had been proven to be truth. Don't let the devil talk you out of those truths. The preaching that you've heard down through the years has been tried and it's true, thank God. And I'm not changing horses in the middle of the stream. I prefer something that's tried and true. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Think about that. Paul said, you need to stop and think, who taught you these things? And so you can say, who have you learned these things from? From a faithful pastor, a man after God's own heart, a man who's faithful to stand up week after week and declare the whole counsel of God. You can tell a lot about a message by looking at the messenger. Amen. Paul wasn't a fly-by-night, popularity-seeking professional. Too many people's been appointed instead of anointed. Where'd Paul come from? He was hunted down by the Almighty God, called to preach the very message he had been trying to destroy. Paul's testimony was that a man of God that preached the truth, amen, he's going to preach the truth even if it landed him in prison, and it did. Paul had the idea, I'm going to preach the truth if they kill me, and they did. Paul's message was so true that he said, if anyone else comes and tries to preach another gospel than what I preached unto you, let him be accursed. He says, as I said before, so say I again, even if an angel from heaven comes and starts declaring another gospel, let him be accursed. Why? Because the gospel don't change. We definitely do not need to be looking for another message. And we do not need to revise or modernize or customize the message that we've heard. Amen. Why? We've been assured of it. Continue in it. Now there's two kinds of courses in life. Required courses. You have no choice who your parents are going to be. You cannot control the day of your birth or the day of your death. You had no choice what color your eyes was going to be. We must all walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Every one of us, Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. But there's elective courses. To be saved or to be lost is your choice. Amen. To be spiritual or carnal, that's your choice. To be scriptural or logical, humanism, that's your choice. To be safe in God's will or do your own thing, that's your choice. But God wills you to be saved. God wills you to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now I want to say something to the graduates, to the young people. Don't ever allow some college professor or anyone else who wouldn't know which way was down if they had fallen out of a tree to convince you that you don't need to continue in the things you've learned. Continue thou in the things that you've learned. Don't let the devil talk you out of the things that you've learned. Get rooted and grounded in the things that you have learned. The last point, Proverbs 3:5-6. I believe these 4 points will get you through life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. That's what gets us in trouble. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let him direct you in your education, in your career, and where you're going to live. I say don't go to college somewhere where you can't be under the sound of the gospel. Let him direct you in whom you marry. In all thy ways when it comes to courtship, acknowledge God. God wants to guide us in every step of our lives, but many times we don't ask him. Too many times we want to know what we're going to be doing 5 years from now, 1 year from now, but many times it's not God's will for us to know that far in advance of what we're going to be doing. He just guides us step by step. Step by step, our path unfolds. Tomorrow's plans, we do not know. We only know this minute. But when tomorrow comes, his grace shall far exceed its care. So why should we worry or fret? The God who gave his son holds all of our moments in his hands and gives them to us one by one. We need to ask God to guide us, young people. Not just doing what seems best in our own eyes. That's what most people are doing. But do what God wants you to do. We acknowledge God publicly by speaking up for him. By letting people know we're Christians. Letting people know how important God is in our lives. Not by words, but by the way we live. because we just don't lay out a church for any reason. We let people know God is first in our lives. Ecclesiastics, we talked about Solomon quite a bit in this sermon, but he said in the 12th chapter and verse number 14, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. As believers, we should be looking beyond this world and this life to the world to come. We should not be looking just to lay up treasures here on this earth, but to lay treasures up over in heaven. No matter where you go or what you do, the main thing that's going to get you through is your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what's going to get you through. So we need to make him our daily focus. Spend time reading and praying, studying his word. We need to ask God for direction and then listen to what he has to say. The most important thing in your life is to live your life with integrity. Do not give in to peer pressure. Live an honest and be a compassionate person.
Thank you, Brother Dishman, for those sound words of admonition. Hopefully, you will take this message to heart. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We want to remind you of our periodical called The Gospel Trumpeter. If you would like to have an issue of that sent to your home each month at no cost, please give us a call at that same number, 345-1213. Or for any previous issues that you would like to have, please browse our website at godsacres.org. Now, in behalf of Pastor Roger Decker, we'd like to extend a warm welcome to you to each of our services here at God's Acres. The service times for today will be 9:30 in Sunday school. The morning worship will begin at 10:45, and the evening worship will start at 6 o'clock. If you would like to have transportation to the service, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. That's 740-345-1213. I see that our time has gone again, but before we leave, this is Fred Barrows saying thank you for listening today, and hopefully you will join us again next week at the same time. So until then, we trust that God will give you a good week.